Linda, would you come and read to us, please?
And the reading is Luke chapter 24, starting at verse 1. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves. And he went away wondering to himself what had happened. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came upon and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Clopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed, before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place." And in addition, some of the women amazed us. "They went to the tomb early this morning. They didn't find the body. They came, told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of their companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see. But him they did not see. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and they then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going on further, but they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen and appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread.
The second part of Luke 24. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and he said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened. I think that's an understatement, don't you? Jesus suddenly appears amongst them. Thinking that they'd seen a ghost, he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your mind? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. And he told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. Christmas is good and it's important, but Easter is crucial. Without Easter, there is no Christian story. John Stott said it this way: "Christianity is in its very essence a resurrection religion. The concept of resurrection lies at its heart. If you remove it, Christianity is destroyed. Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. And the cross is behind him and the glory of heaven awaits him. And before he returns to heaven, however, Jesus appears to his disciples. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, the women went to the tomb. They went with love, with courage, and with spices to prepare and care for a body. They went expecting death. What they found instead was surprise, a life. Easter always begins in the dark and ends in life. It begins with grief that hasn't yet lifted, in questions that haven't yet been answered, in hearts that are still heavy from Friday. The women weren't lacking faith. They were being faithful in the only way they knew how. They would do what love does in the face of loss, and that's often where we are too. Some of you this morning will come carrying sorrow, some with exhaustion, some with doubts, not quite knowing how to name them and to know what they are. Some come simply because it's Easter, and that's what we do. And into all of that, the angel speaks a question that echoes across the centuries. Why do you look for the living among the dead? If you go to Israel today, into the garden of Gordon's Calvary, there is a tomb with a stone that's rolling, that can be rolled away. And this tomb is open and you can go into it. And there is a platform where maybe Jesus laid, we don't know. But it's certainly a tomb that would have been like that. And it dates back to the time of Jesus. And as you turn around to come out, there's engraved in the stone above the hallway, it says, "He is not here. He is risen." How wonderful. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Imagine him misplacing your phone. I'm sure some of you have done that at one time or another. You look in the kitchen, you look in the sofa, you look in the hallway, and suddenly realize it's in your hand. You're looking in the wrong places. You're looking in the sensible places, but not the right one. The women went to the tomb because that's where dead people belong. This mistake wasn't carelessness, it was expectation. They expected death still to be in charge. Easter gently, firmly says to us, Jesus is no longer where death put him. And sometimes the life that God wants to give us will not be found where we've always looked. There are new things, new ways of being. And Jesus is the one who surprises his followers. Now, have you ever had a surprise? Personally, I hate the idea of surprises. I don't mind surprise presents. But a surprise birthday party would be awful for me. I would hate that. And despite being told many times by Jesus that after he died, he would raise from the dead, the followers were still caught by surprise. As I said, the women went to the tomb expecting to find the body. In fact, they had brought spices to complete the anointing of the body. Even when the tomb was empty, they thought the body had been stolen. And rather remembering that Jesus was going to rise from the dead, Jesus surprised them. When he had told the disciples that he had risen, when they had told the disciples that he had risen, the disciples did not believe them. Was it because of some said that they were because they were women whose testimony was not accepted in law courts in New Testament times? No, not at all. Jesus had treated women as equals all the 3 years that they had followed him. I don't believe that this is the answer. The women were important to Jesus and to the disciples. The disciples simply couldn't bring themselves to believe. Mark 16 verse 14 says, later Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. Jesus surprised them, and they didn't believe the surprise. How about us? Does Jesus still surprise us? I hope so. Do we find that we want to trust him for everything in life, and yet he still surprises us? Again, I really hope so. We should never put God in a box and finally believe we understand him and there are no surprises left. Surprise when we read a verse in scripture that we had forgotten was there and it challenges us. Surprise by a gift from another believer. Surprise when something happens that we never saw coming. Are we believing believers that surprises can still happen? You may say, well, I never see God working. I ask you, do you see him working? Do you look for him working? Or have you got used to the ways of life? Or have you got used to just being, coming to church on a Sunday and being part of the Sunday congregation instead of looking for God to surprise you? Sometimes in the small things, we pray, don't we? Give us this day our daily bread. Yet we still live under the impression that we're supplying our own needs. Money, food for our needs. We budget and we save, and yet we forget that it's God who provides. Health for the day. Every day is a miracle from God. As we wake up in the morning, we should be saying, thank you for this miracle of a new day. It's a surprise. Security to finish each day, all from Jesus. And we should not be surprised when Jesus meets our needs, but rather be thankful we have such a God. He is risen and he meets our needs. Then in the big issues of faith, the small things and the big things. For example, forgiveness. Do we truly believe that we are forgiven? We pray the prayers, Father, forgive me. But too many of us carry on as though we're not forgiven. When God says in Psalm 103, as far as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. We don't live as though God has forgiven us. We forget. And he surprises us when he says, I forgive you. As far as the east is from the west, so I have removed your sins from you. Do we believe it? Will we be surprised when we go to heaven and God says to us, your sins have been forgiven. Well done, good and faithful servant. Because if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour, your sins are dealt with. Yes, we still need to keep asking forgiveness on a daily basis. We still are fallen human beings who make mistakes daily. But every time we say sorry, we are forgiven. He is risen and we are, as Christians, are forgiven. There's a bumper sticker in America that I saw once and it said, not perfect, just forgiven. That's us. Then there's provision in special need. And it's hard in those times of special need. Times in need of healing, financial help, family sadness, bereavement. Lord, please supply my need in this particular hard time. And he is risen. And he meets our needs in the hard times. He will provide. Do we believe that God is out there when it gets especially hard? He is risen and he meets our needs in the hard times. And then in answer to prayer, when we pray, do we believe that God has heard us? God hears and answers. It's been said many times that his answers are maybe, yes, no, or wait. Waiting can be the hardest. Waiting on the Lord and its variations are hundreds of times, especially in the Psalms. Waiting is hard, but worthwhile in this life and the next. Jesus is risen and he hears our prayers. Jesus is still in the business of surprising his disciples, you and me. It's worth noticing, the stone was not rolled away so Jesus could get out. The stone was rolled away so the women could look in. Resurrection doesn't need human permission. Jesus doesn't struggle out of the grave. The open tomb is not about God's weakness. It's about God's invitation. Easter invites us to look again in that tomb at ourselves, at our failure, at our future, and to see that what we thought was the end has been opened by God. He has given us the opportunity to be forgiven, to start anew. And then Easter sends us out changed. The women didn't stay at the tomb. They left, afraid, astonished, and full of joy. I would have been too. Where have they taken him? Where is Jesus? What has happened? That's what resurrection does. It sends people out. Easter is not something just to be celebrated. It's something to be lived because Christ is risen. We can choose hope when despair feels easier. We can risk forgiveness where bitterness feels safer. We can live as people who believe that God is still at work. Resurrection life doesn't mean life without pain. It means life with purpose, courage, and unbreakable hope. You and I may feel that life is sometimes too hard, too difficult, too oppressive to us. But just like the tomb that was exploded open because Jesus rose from the dead, so too we can have that forgiveness and answer to prayer that tells us that Christ is alive. The biggest surprise of history is the empty tomb. The tomb could not hold him. 3 days after his death on the cross, he rose from the dead. And so we join with the rest of the kingdom of God and follow the resurrection responsibility. Come and see, go and tell. Here again, the words that have shaken the world for 2,000 years. He is not here. He is risen. Christ is risen for the doubter and the believer. Christ is risen for the weary and for the hopeful. Christ is risen for those who feel close to God and those who feel far away. And because he lives, nothing, not even death, can separate us from the love of God. Christ is risen. Let's pray. On this Easter morning, we thank you that the tomb is empty and that your promises are alive. We thank you that where we expected death, you brought life. Where we expected silence, you spoke, and you spoke hope. Where we expected an ending, you give us a new beginning. For those who come today with joy, deepen their joy. For those who come with sorrow, meet them with comfort. For those who come with doubt, meet them with grace. For those who come tired or afraid, meet them with peace. Risen Lord Jesus. Lead us out of the places of fear into the places of life that you offer. Send us from this place as people of resurrection, living with hope, loving with courage, and trusting that nothing is beyond your power to renew. We praise you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, today and always. Amen.